bastard star. His love endures forever. For the life that's been reborn, his love endures forever. Sing praise.
Welcome to Finding God in Prison with your host, Deacon Joe Montone, the founder and director of the WINGS program, an inmate reentry and recovery program. And now, here's your host, Deacon Joe Montone.
Good afternoon, my friends, and welcome to Holy Spirit Radio and our program, Finding God in Prison. This is Deacon Joe Montone, and it's a privilege and a pleasure to be back here with you on the air at 1570 AM WISP and 1420 AM WCOJ. Today, my friends, we're going to be talking about fatherhood and some of the challenges we have in the city of Philadelphia with homicides. And working in the WINGS program has really been a blessing to me and an opportunity to learn from the men and women who have come through our program for the past 29 years. And I just tell you that we had close to 10 years in the Philadelphia Department of Prisons before COVID-19. And many of the men who were with us were actually in there and charged for homicide. Some were sent upstate serving a life sentence, and others are exonerated. But I'll just tell you that in the city of Philadelphia, there have been many homicides. And there have been 126 homicides this year, in the year 2023 to date, 11% decrease from 2022. There have been 409 non-fatal shootings and 103 fatal shootings since April 19th, 2023. Of those stats, 5% were involving white shooters, 77% were black, and 17% were Hispanic. With regard to the age of the actual person, 10% were under the age of 18 years old. 48% of the shooters were between 18 and 36 years old, and 30% were between 31 and 45 years old. And lastly, 11% were over 45 years old. So one of the great challenges we have is that 48% of the shooters were between 18 and 36 years old. All right. And predominantly in the African-American community. However, you know, we have many shootings as well in the Hispanic community, the white community. And so it's really something that's prevalent throughout the city. Of the shooters, by the way, 88% were male and 12% were female. So the question is, you know, what are we going to do about the issue of children getting killed? And actually, from a safety standpoint, what can we do to avoid these things in the future? And I think we have to go back to the family itself and look at how we can strengthen our families as parents, as mothers and fathers, as grandparents, in many cases where there is no parent in the home. And so what can we do to strengthen those families and help them to raise their kids to make good decisions? And one of the great commandments, you know, we want to introduce today, which is the fifth commandment, thou shalt not kill. And, you know, in the WINGS program, we highlight many scripture verses. And it's important because what God says to do and not to do is a road to live by, a road to take, a pathway for success in family life and in life itself. And it's important, my friends. And here, as in many cities, we see, you know, a predominant number of homicides. Now, in the WINGS program, we've had many men who have been charged with homicide. And some of them are upstate serving life. Some of them are on death row. Others have been exonerated. And there are men who are serving, you know, 35 to 50 years or to 70 years or 25 to 50, 15 to 30, all kinds of sentences that are associated with taking the life of another person. And so what can we do once again? And we know that there is a high percentage of children who are born out of wedlock in Philadelphia and other cities as well, like New York and Detroit and Los Angeles. And so once again, strengthening the family, I think, is a great message here today on our program. And there's no time like the present, my friends. It's a springtime of the year 2023. We just celebrated the Easter season, and it's a new year in the church, and it should be a year of success in family life. And I'd like to just ask that you challenge yourself in identifying weaknesses in your family itself. Where are those weaknesses? What are they stemming from? Is it a lack of faith? Is it a lack of focus on the Word of God? Is it a lack of quality time spent by parents with their children, where children have too much freedom and are making decisions that are putting them in circles of other people, so-called friends, and they are making poor decisions, unwise choices? So when we look at the, you know, the household of each individual family, what's going on behind closed doors? Is it positive or negative? In the Winks program, everything we do should be positive in what we call the 168, which is the total time available in a week. There are 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and 168 hours of total time. And that's the core of the Winks program. So we want to look at, from a family standpoint, what's happening in your home with your kids, with your parents, because it's not just a problem that's created from the children. There are many parents who are addicted to drugs, addicted to alcohol, who are addicted to gambling and other things, criminal activity, as well as immoral activity, unethical activity. And so there are all different categories, but what can we do about it? And this is where we want to create ways of strengthening our families. And I think we go back to the source, which is our Lord Jesus Christ and our Father in heaven. And through the Holy Spirit, right now, we just take a moment to pray that our Father in heaven will enlighten the Holy Spirit within each of us to draw closer to our Lord Jesus Christ. In word and action, help us to be better husbands, better fathers, better mothers, better wives, better grandparents, who are paying attention to detail and watching what's happening in our homes, spiritually, mentally, physically, financially, educationally, residentially. What is going on? We ask that Father God will enlighten the Holy Spirit and give us the insight to what is happening in our homes and the solutions to resolve these issues before devastating consequences are incurred. We ask this through the intercession of our Blessed Mother Mary and through Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And my friends, we pray right now because prayer is very powerful. And it is the answer. When there are no other answers, my friends, we sit down, we pray. And I've known mothers who've lost two sons to the streets. Mothers who are devastated by losing not only one son, but a second son to drugs, to illegal weapons, money, power, prestige, working through the streets, affecting their children. We had a mother call me one day while we were teaching the Wings program at CFCF, one of the facilities inside the Philadelphia Department of Prisons. And she said, "Mr. Montone, my name is so-and-so, and I have a son who is incarcerated at CFCF. And is it possible that he could be in your program? I said, well, what is his name? And she told me his name and gave me his background. And she said, you know, I had three sons, but one of them was killed to the streets by gunshot, and the other one was killed actually by drug addiction, an overdose. And so with that, this is my last son. So she gave me his name, and I called up our point of contact for getting people into the program from the inside of that facility. And within that day, he was now listed on our program and invited to come down to join us. And he stayed with us for the entire program, and he graduated. And his mother came to the graduation. But I just tell you that she lost two sons to the street. And so these statistics that I shared with you, 409 non-fatal shootings, 103 fatal shootings in the last 12 months since April 19, 2022. Things are happening each and every day, and it's up to you and I as parents and grandparents to get the message out, to help our families to take control of the streets that our children are running wild in. And I know that many of the men who have been through the WINGS program were also charged with not having a gun permit, okay, and were carrying weapons with no carry permit. And so with that, they have an illegal weapon charge. And I just tell you that, you know, not too long ago, a young boy age 6 went into a school and actually, you know, shot a teacher. And that weapon was actually, you know, his parents' weapon that he took with him to the school, a loaded weapon, and shot a teacher. So we as parents and guardians of our children need to take ownership of our homes and not allow a uncontrolled environment, a chaotic environment within our homes, within the bedrooms of our children. We need to put the morals and the family values back into our homes. And these are the things that our Lord Jesus Christ and our Father in heaven have given us as the tools to move forward as a family. And God says, you know, a man will leave his mother and father and join his wife, and the two will become one flesh, and to be fruitful and multiply. And we want our children to succeed. How is it that children grow up to be young adults and adults and are engaged in drug addiction, criminal activity, non-fatal shootings, fatal shootings, committing homicides? I know we had 60 young people who were not adults inside one of the facilities in the Philadelphia Department of Prison who had committed homicides and were charged with homicides and would suffer the consequence of doing that activity. So how do we, you know, succeed once again in family life, in our homes? And without looking at someone else's home, we need to take a look at what's happening in our home and take ownership of it to solve problems, to fill voids, to satisfy needs, and to avoid neglect or abuse in our own homes. It's essential, my friends, that you and I do everything we can before we lose the battle. We lose our children to some of these devastating consequences. And we know that, you know, it's almost an accepted thing that some of these things will happen, including DUIs, driving under the influence, suspended driver's licenses, car accidents, and other kinds of uncontrolled events that are really prompted because of the wrong people that other people have as so-called friends and even family members. Once again, let's take a look at our homes objectively. What's happening in our home? Is it stable? Are we credible? Or are we unstable as parents, grandparents, as children? Because this message transcends everyone in that home. Everybody has a part to play. And are we contributing to the growth and success of family life in your home, or are we creating a unstable environment where we affect the credibility of everyone within our home, and we are put into a position where bad things can happen to good people? So I ask you those questions to really motivate you and to inspire you to get off the couch, to get out of bed, and to take a look and see what's happening in your home, especially in Philadelphia and the surrounding counties where we've had an abundance of shootings in the last 12 months and for many years. But I encourage you, my friends, to get involved, to be outspoken, and to not accept the status quo as being the standard. God calls us to raise the standards. You know, if we look at some of the other commandments that God gives us, they are powerful, given to Moses by the hand of God on top of Mount Sinai. God tells us to do and not to do many things. He says, remember to keep holy the Lord's day. Are we doing that? Are we going to church? Are we praying, both in church and outside church, at home? Do we pray as parents, as husband and wife, or with our children when they are waking up or going to bed? Are we supportive of getting our kids dressed and going off to church on Sundays? Or is this just forgotten, and it's just another day, replaced by baseball games, soccer games, all kinds of outings and events? Do we ignore the word of God in that we don't even say a blessing before the family meal, whether it be breakfast, lunch, or dinner? Are we engaged in the word of God, or is it something that we don't even talk about? Because God is calling us once again to strengthen our families, and it will be the Lord Jesus Christ and our Father in heaven who help us to do that by opening the Word of God, living out the Scriptures each and every day the best that we can. Now, we're not perfect, but wouldn't it be a great thing if there were no more shootings, no more homicides, no more rapes, no more burglaries, no more larceny, no more violence in our societies, and especially today we're focusing on Philadelphia and the surrounding counties. It's not just the city of Philadelphia, my friends, because I've been to the Bucks County Detention Centers, our first facility, and I've been to the Bucks County Courthouse numerous times. And I just tell you that we have work to do not only in Philadelphia, but in surrounding counties and across the river into New Jersey, where we've worked with the ISP program, the Intensive Supervisory Program. That is a program for nonviolent offenders who were criminals but not using any weapons. So they were released 90 days in advance. We work with them too, through the judiciary in Trenton, New Jersey. We've been to the Albert C. Wagner facility in New Jersey. And we are now talking to the Mid-State Correctional Facility, as well as the Trenton State Facility. But I just tell you that there is work to be done both in Pennsylvania and New Jersey in strengthening our families. Because if we don't do it, we will receive the consequences of that lack of effort that we put forth into strengthening our families, preventing our children from the wounds that they will suffer in society and in life, which will affect their credibility, their stability, and ultimately their life will be impacted in a negative way. In the Wings program, we're always looking to do positive things. WING stands for Winning Ideas, Nurturing Growth and Success. Are we growing as a family? Are we succeeding as a family? Or are we suffering the consequences of making bad decisions, being involved in the wrong activity, getting involved with the wrong people, both friends and family? Be objective. Take a look, because today's show is focused on helping us to strengthen the family in all respects. And this is one of the things we have to do, once again, because many of our families throughout the world are suffering the consequences of things that have been done within their homes. Our job is to, once again, to get involved, be engaged in what's happening for our adults and children. Are we ethical or unethical in daily life? Are we respectful towards other people in our homes as well as outside our homes? Or are we disrespectful towards other people? What is the standard in your home? Are we honest or dishonest? Are we sincere or insincere about other people in our homes? What is the standard in your home? God calls us to the second greatest commandment, which is to love one another. Let's not come up short, but let's come up big time for the Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us. We recently celebrated, once again, Easter Sunday, Resurrection Day, after his passion and death. The Lord rises from the dead. He gives us opportunity to live a good life and to secure our inheritance in heaven, our seat in heaven with our Father in heaven. God calls us to this, but many will never get there because they're engaged in the wrong activities, making poor decisions, unwise choices. So as parents and grandparents, community activists, aunts and uncles, we look forward to a day when all of this will be cleansed, wiped out by God's hand. But you and I are the instruments that God can use to help to begin this today. Once again, take a look at your home. Make a decision to be engaged and have a greater say, to be outspoken in what's happening. Don't accept the standard. If it's below God's standard, and God's standards are high, don't accept mediocrity or a poor performance. Help to get the best out of your kids. Help to get the best out of your parents, because sometimes children have to teach their parents a lesson. I had a 17-year-old in my program whose parents were both addicted to drugs and had spent time in prison. And he was going the right way, but he's had negative role models and had to endure and persevere through tough times as a child. And sometimes these are difficult things for a kid coming up at 13 to 17 years old, watching his parents, survive because they're in recovery programs from addiction to drugs or alcohol, or spending time incarcerated, going there on visitations for years. So my hat is taken off to the kids out there who have had tough childhoods, who've been raised by incarcerated parents or addicted parents, or parents who are just careless or sometimes even reckless. And I know in aviation, those are big words. Those who put you in jail for a long time. When a pilot is careless with an aircraft, or even reckless, intentionally doing something with that aircraft to harm people. And I remember many years ago, there was a banner tow pilot who had flown very, very low over a boat by the Ocean City, New Jersey bridge. And this pilot went down on the boat, very close to the boat, maybe within 20 feet, and then, you know, flew off to scare the people on the boat. And it did scare them. But I just tell you that that is a reckless example of how to fly an aircraft. And there are many of those examples in driving cars. I remember in the Wings program, we had a gentleman I went to court for who had graduated, who had run a little girl down in South Philadelphia. And he didn't mean to do it, but she jumped out between the cars. But he was very careless and even reckless in the way he was operating the car, very fast in a one-way, you know, street. And he ran that little baby girl down, stripped her of her clothes, dragged her 70 feet, crushed the bones in her face. And I was in court for him. And his mother went to the witness stand, and she said to the defendant, "Why did you run my little baby girl down? Why didn't you stop?" And it was then that I felt in my heart, what am I doing here? And God told me, you are here to bring that story to thousands of men, to help them to get control of their lives, to gain discipline, self-control, to get the morals, values, ethics, and principles that our Lord is giving us to live by, to get it right, to feed it out. And that man who ran that little baby girl down, who was 12 years old now, after 4 years, he served 8 to 16 years. And the judge told him, "Mr. Montone," he said, "I feel no obligation to reduce this man's sentence. He has 2 infractions inside the Philadelphia Department of Prisons. He has a history of driving with a suspended license." "No, no, no. I feel no obligation. So today he's going to get 8 to 16 years. Who knows what kind of family life this individual grew up in? But my friends, we're just about out of time, and I want to encourage you to take control of your home, to do all that you can to bring the Lord and our Father in heaven into your table of life, through your heart and through your mind. Make a great impact today and every day on your children, on your parents, on your siblings, and everyone you come in contact. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen. That's our show for today. May God bless you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. My name is Deacon Joe Montone. Have a great day. God bless you. And we see you next time here on Holy Spirit Radio and Finding God in Prison. God bless.